All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Playdate. This is so, so exciting. I'm so excited because today I have a really special guest for you. I'm really, really honored that he made the time out of his busy schedule to share his beautiful wisdom and knowledge with you. So Julius is an amazing sound healer, and he also is a Kundalini yoga teacher. And he has his own company. He's here in New York City. He has classes that he teaches live and online. So I'm really excited to connect you all to him. Julius, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Really excited, Allison. Thank you for this opportunity to connect with your audience and whoever else can get their hands on this beautiful podcast that you're doing for this collective consciousness that we're in. And you have a very lovely voice, by the way, that's translating into this digital realm. So really cool.
Ooh, thank you. What an honor from a sound healer, sound person. That's such an honor. I mean, I love a lot of things. And one of my favorite things is connecting people to amazing people. And you are one of those amazing people. So we met actually at something called Connection Camp. And for those of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll find a few episodes back, I interviewed the founder of Connection Camp, Amy. So, and yeah, I remember meeting you there. It was it's a pretty special place. And you had actually set up a sound healing installation at the camp. Is that something that you, like, I'm curious to know, how did you get into sound healing? And what does sound healing mean also? I'm curious to hear your definition.
Yeah, I think sound came into my life. You know, I've always been fascinated with dancing. I'm not trained or anything, but before, I guess, I woke up to my own spiritual journey, dance was my meditation without really knowing it was a meditation. And fast forward to 2015, it was a heart-opening year for me. And from a failing relationship with a beautiful person, my stepfather, who's a great man, passed, and it was really hard on the family, especially my mom. And yeah, it just made me further question a lot of things in my life, where I was at with my job, and started really realizing I was really frustrated, and made me go back to the Philippines after 24 years of leaving. And my primary motivation was to connect with my father. And I had a beautiful 1 month out in the Philippines and connected with him as a human being. And I think that started a lot of healing for me. And after a month of being in the Philippines, I was like, I gotta simplify my life in New York City. At that time, I was involved with a tech finance company doing technology with them. I was, about 8 years with that company. And at that moment, I knew that, like, my time was ending there, but didn't know where or how I was going to transition out of there. And going back to the simplification, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the seeds of experience that had brought me joy, connection, creativity, that allowed me to develop meaningful relationships and also deepen the sense of self. So I started doing more of that, right? From Reiki to permaculture to sound trainings to essential oils, jewelry making, and a whole bunch of different workshops. And right before actually 2015, maybe 2012, 13, I had experience one-on-one singing bowl meditation. And that was wild, having the bowls on you, around you, and other instruments to really slow down the mind. That was one of the key seeds that I wanted to nourish, along with hearing the gong in yoga, Kundalini practice particularly. And I started just taking trainings just out of my curiosity and see where that would lead to my own healing, and not really realizing that it was an avenue I was going to go really deep within. And I don't really use the term sound healing. I prefer to call it sound meditation. And I think all healing modalities, in short, is a form of meditation. And for me, it just neutralizes the word healing, which for me, at least, I'm still trying to unpack my relationship with that word and really embodying it by connecting to my body and gaining, you know, subtle awareness of what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and how I'm expressing, how I am unconscious at times. And sound kind of created that platform for me to honor what I'm feeling, express what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. And it's interesting, sound, yeah, it just brings out a lot. But like when I first started playing my flute, it sounded really sad. I was like, what is this? It was like making me tear up, you know? And it still does sometimes, but more out of joy for me lately. And yeah, that's how I wrap my energy around sound. And it's been a beautiful journey.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all of that. I know there's a lot of people out there that, especially now, are in a space of questioning, you know, where am I going? What am I doing? You know, jobs ending suddenly, sources of income just basically vaporizing into thin air. And so a lot of people are in the space, probably, I'm imagining, in the space of really reevaluating themselves and their lives and what's really important to them. So thanks for sharing your, you know, that adventure. And I know it's always a squiggly line. So that I love how you shared kind of all the different chapters. And I love your distinction of sound meditation instead of healing. I really get that. The word healing has a lot of charge to it. And it doesn't always feel very empowering. So sound meditation. Yeah. So cool. So I would love to know, I know that you offer sound meditation sessions. So you do group sessions, you do one-on-one sessions. What is it like for someone, say someone is like, oh, I'd be curious to experience sound meditation in like a one-on-one setting, but what is that like? And what's the intention behind it? If you could go a little bit more into like, why would someone even do that?
Yeah. I feel like we have so many different entry points into our subconscious. And the idea between and across all of these modalities is to gain self-awareness and move energy where it may be stuck. And if you look at our senses, we're constantly consuming, whether it's food, emotions, thoughts, experiences. But sometimes we don't digest those experiences, yeah, properly. Mm-hmm. Whether it's food that creates indigestion, emotions that create heartache, thoughts that create anxiety. And sound meditation gives us an opportunity to digest and hopefully absorb the nutrients, the lessons, the learning opportunities to properly digest it, absorb it, eliminate it from the body so we can fill ourselves back up with new experiences that allows us to just vibrate at a higher frequency. So in short, someone might want to try sound meditation to move emotional or mental energy that in turn affects their physical wellness. And I feel that relaxation is the threshold to any healing modality, whatever you want to call it. If we are not relaxed, the mind is going to kick in and we're going to have the gas and the brake at the same time. And we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. And the idea with sound is to get back into that state of relaxation so we can activate our parasympathetic nervous system and we can activate our own self-healing mechanism. And depending of your constitution, we can use various instruments, even the voice, to get into that space.
Wow. Yes, I love it. I love that distinction of needing to be relaxed, for sure. I feel like for me in life, I it's hard for me to do anything unless I'm relaxed. So it's more and more important now than ever. So also curious to know, I know that you also teach yoga, Kundalini yoga, and you incorporate that into the sound meditation work that you do. What led you to that? And why do you choose that as a practice as well?
Yeah, our life is full of synchronicities, right? And the outside world is constantly communicating to us. And I've started following astrology and numerology very early on in my teens and early 20s. And in 2013 or 14, I had connected with this woman in Australia. She drew your four core numbers in numerology. And for those who's not familiar with numerology, it's the science of numbers that takes your birthday and also your name. And each letter's assigned to a number, like A is one, B is two in the Pythagorean numerology aspect of it. And then whatever double digit you have left from these calculations expresses a particular characteristics of your being. So this woman drew a mandala based out of my four core numbers, and unexpectedly the painting came with a numerology reading. And in the numerology reading, emphasized that I should work on my heart chakra and activate my Kundalini energy. And at that time I was like, okay, that sounds great, I know what that is, but how do I actually do it? And literally, Allison, like a week later, I was walking my dog across the street in this forest. My dog starts sniffing another dog. I tell the story all the time because it's just so magical. Mm-hmm. And then I start talking to the dog's owner or friend, who's happened to be a Kundalini teacher.
Wow.
And she was like, come to my studio. And we just talked about everything at that point. And when I revealed my numerology or shared my numerology reading, she was so excited. And that was my introduction to the practice. And I've been practicing on and off at that time. You know, I was hardcore for 6 months, take off a few months, but it just kept drawing me back up until I took my gong training in 2015. Actually, end of 2016, September 2016 or December. And then more than half of the students were Kundalini yoga teachers. And at that point, I already took like maybe 3 months off the practice. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go back into it. And it just kept drawing me back. And that's really created a great container for me to process a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. My experience with Kundalini yoga and yoga in general is very similar, like going in, doing it really hardcore, pulling away, coming back to it, like always coming back to it though. And I think for me, it's the breath, the breathing practices that are the most powerful and have supported me in a lot of ways through depression and anxiety or just overwhelm, especially for me as someone that is, not everyone uses the term highly sensitive. Some people say empath or highly sensitive or open energy field. I don't know if that's your experience, but as someone, like for me, I'm very open energetically. Mm-hmm. So there's times when I can just feel like, even today, I'm like, ooh, I've got to do some breathing later on because I can feel a lot of the energy that's going on in the collective. And breath is such a powerful way to move that through and kind of move it out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what are some of your favorite Kundalini practices? Do you have like a couple that are your go-tos or you just really rely on?
Breath of fire. It's a warm-up. It's integrated in a lot of kriyas. And you can do the breath of fire with various poses. And that's the rapid movement of the breath with the emphasis of the exhalation as you pump your navel. That really activates our third power center, our solar plex, which has a lot of fire element into it. And 3 minutes of that allows us to reoxygenate our body and really elevate ourselves. And I've been working with my, if you go to the 3HO website and enter your birth date, they suggest based on your 10 bodies, a set that you can use to strengthen aspects of yourself that may need extra support. And there's one for balancing the head and the heart. It's a 3-part exercise recipe to just do that. And I go to that periodically. And it's really nice, very grounding, a lot of arm movement to really just activate our heart and lung center.
Amazing. I love that. So I know for those of you that are listening out there, I feel it's important to mention that within the last, I think it's like the last 6 months or so, but maybe before that, there has been a lot coming out about Kundalini yoga and some of the, I guess you would say, scandals or different kind of toxic behaviors that occurred within the Kundalini world. I mean, it's also showing up in the whole yoga world and a lot of the world. So I'm curious to know, you know, how do you, as someone that has found benefit from the practice, how do you reconcile using practices that were shared by people or a person that was also kind of abusing their power and manipulating others and using being really unconscious? So how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, especially for those people that were directly affected by these dark energies. And I'm not sure who said it, but you know, I think with anything in life, take what works and discard anything that doesn't. And it's not to say to be insensitive of what's happening, but really finding the neutral energy around that enables me to keep uplifting myself and those that I encounter. And for me, I think, you know, what's going on, like you pointed out, what's going on in the Kundalini yoga world, it's happening globally. It's exciting. It's challenging times. But I think for people that's on their path or at least waking up to their own power, this is a great opportunity to really find deeper truths within ourselves, as much as the outside world is reflecting a lot of dark energies, you may call it. I think just a beautiful opportunity to like, hey, where am I? Who am I? Where am I going? What are my gifts, you know, that we can all collectively tap into? And I'm really excited as challenging as it is. And going back to the Kundalini practice and all the other practices that I've delved in, some Qigong to Tai Chi, and it's really all about our intention, right? Where we place our attention, energy follows. And I think if we can just simplify of what we do and use that equation to gain awareness of our own subtle energies, hopefully we can operate more consciously within ourselves and the community that we are in.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yes. I mean, do you think that the structure, I know within a lot of traditional yoga tradition, especially Kundalini, there is sort of this big emphasis on like the guru or the main teacher kind of thing, and this sort of celebrity kind of level of, just like adoration that's placed on this person as the one. Do you feel that that's changing right now? And in regards to how you like to teach, do you see that that model sort of falling away into something different? And if so, what do you think the new model is going to be?
Oh yeah, very much so. I'm not sure how many waves of generations of yogi or there is, but especially in the Kundalini community, the group of magical people I took my training with, we all agreed that like this model is outdated, especially if they view Kundalini yoga as a household yoga. All of these rules are meant to be broken. We don't have to wear all white. We don't have to cover our heads. We don't have to stick with a particular format, and really just tap into what energy is present at that moment, where you're at, who you're with, to really deliver the practice in a approachable way that gives people an experience to experience themselves and their own power, with the breath, with the movement, and the collective. I think with a lot of structures breaking down, I'm really curious how the Kundalini community, especially the organizations 3HO, KRI, and other organizations around that, how they're going to move forward, and to continue to show up and share this beautiful practice. So I don't know exactly how that's going to unfold.
I mean, it's curious. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, the one thing I think that probably stopped me from going deeper into Kundalini was all of the rules and the, you know, you need to wear the all white and you need to wear this head cover and it needs to be this way and you need to like worship this guru and this person and they're the only one. And to me, it just felt like, no, my body was like, no, we don't want to go there. But that being said, now that we live in a world with access to so much information, it's very easy to learn, you know, the amazing breathing practices or breath work without ever even having to be in a room with a teacher. You can just go online and go on YouTube or, you know, wherever online you can find tons of resources. But that being said, I do want to say I have been in a class with you and I do, you know, I did feel that you do embody a new generation of teaching around these breath practices. And I didn't feel like you had the need to have to be like the guru, the teacher, the respected one. So just for those of you out there that are listening, if you're curious to explore live classes with the sound meditation, which is a whole next level of deliciousness and really connecting into your body, Julius is a great person for that exploration. So where can people find you? What's the best way for them to know about your classes, your events, those kinds of things?
Yeah, just social media. Also my website, Anahata, which is the heart center, anahataresonance.com. Also that same tag on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
I just love connecting with people. We can do things online. You know, I give no excuses. I'll travel to you within a safe distance of travel time.
Awesome.
And it's really fascinating. This last week or so, the yoga studio I teach at, we went online via Zoom, and we've gotten more busy than ever. And it's really fascinating how people are really taking this time to go within, to find deeper truths, and still maintain a sense of community through the virtual platform, and allowing us to be creative in that sense.
That's so exciting. It's so amazing. So if you're listening to this in the future, you know, we're recording this like 1 week into the coronavirus pandemic, I guess you call it, and it's showing up here in the United States. I mean, I guess it's been here for more than 1 week, but in New York City, really the last 7 days, a lot of us have been self-quarantining and staying inside. So it's so exciting to see all of the possibilities that are showing up in our lives through online offerings. And yeah, what else is possible? I know for me, where you, one of the studios you teach at, it's quite far from where I live. So it's probably an hour and 20 minute or hour ride for me. So it's way easier for me to go ahead and do online classes than it would be to ever get there in person, except for occasional events and things like that. It's really exciting. Very exciting. Yay. Well, amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share with people before we hop off here?
Yeah, these are really interesting times we live in. As much of a global community we're in, I just encourage people to localize everything. Support your local businesses, your local practitioners, your family, your friends, and really connect with them in a different way that allows us to in turn affect this global consciousness that's going on. And yeah, just keep up with the practice. It's really challenging. You know, there's times where I don't feel like practicing, and like those are moments really where we can use our creativity to still move the body. Yeah, because we don't have to be stuck to one practice. It could be simply as a 30-minute walk in the forest or in the park, right? Mm-hmm. To just get some fresh air, or listening to some favorite tunes, and not be so glued into the news, not be so glued into our phones, and really tap in to a different dimension that we're used to, that yeah, allows us to just connect more humanly.
Absolutely. I love that. I love what you shared about it doesn't have to be a certain practice at the end of the day, but have practices that connect you back to your body, your heart. Yeah, the bigger story beyond the news and the the fear out there. So, oh my gosh, Julius, I'm so honored that you took the time today to be on here. And for those of you listening, I will be sharing in the description here about his website, his Instagram handle, Facebook, everything. So his formal bio. So if you're curious, please find Julius. He teaches many classes a week and his energy is amazing. You'll always feel super loved and super blessed when you're in his presence. So thank you so much, Julius. Have a beautiful day.
No, I want to thank you too, Allison, for doing the work that you do on social media and outside of it. It's really beautiful to see and hear, and just hope that we all can tap into that energy. So thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.